Please stand up. We will read scripture. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had been made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
A reading from John 11, verse 1 and verse 3. Let's all read together in unison. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick."
John chapter 12, verse 1, 2, 3. Read it together. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume.
Well, good morning. Our scripture lesson didn't introduce us to any new things, did it? My guess is most of us here have known those stories ever since we were children. They're very familiar. but I'm going to ask you to think a little bit about what you know about Mary and Martha, and I'm going to give you just a quick quiz here. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Which of these two sisters, Mary and Martha, loved Jesus the most? Okay? Now, how many of you vote for Mary? Okay, let's see those hands up nice and high. All right. Now, next. How many of you vote for Martha? Okay, she has a few supporters out there. How many of you didn't raise your hand because you don't think there was any difference in the depth of their love? Let me see your hands. All right, there are a few on that side too. Well, I'm not going to grade that quiz, but I'll let you do your self-grading as we move along here with the message. Okay. Martha and Mary and Lazarus seem to be some of Jesus' best friends. The intimacy that we see in these stories, we don't usually see in other accounts when Jesus is interacting. So it seems to me that they were as close to him as some of his inner circle of disciples. As a matter of fact, there's a special relationship that women can give many times that is different from what male, and I'm not thinking of a love relationship here or a married relationship, but just a relational relationship. And it seems that Jesus really enjoyed being with these women and their brother. What we're going to do, what I want us to do this morning is to look at their relationship with Jesus and see what more we can learn about being friends with Jesus. I'm not a technological wizard here, but now in Luke chapter 10, let's look at that first segment here. What do we find out about what Martha is doing when the story begins? What Mary was doing, rather. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she was listening to Jesus. In Mary here, we see a very important lesson for all of us. For Mary, being with Jesus, just being with him, was a priority. And it's very interesting that when she was with him, she was listening. She wasn't doing all the talking. I'm afraid that the time I spend with the Lord, many times I'm doing a lot of the talking. And I need to do more listening. And I don't know whether you're like I am too. We can pray and say all kinds of words, but are we able to sit and just listen? Mary was able to do that, and she loved doing that. Now, in this first segment, what was Martha doing? Now, my guess is I know what came into your mind. But before I allow you to think that any farther, look at verse 38. As Jesus was coming into Bethany, who is it that opens her home to Jesus? Martha. He came along and she welcomed him, and she welcomed the disciples into her home. Martha had the gift of hospitality, we would say. It was a natural thing for her to invite people into their home and to prepare a nice meal for them. And she's an excellent example to us of hospitality, which is a spiritual gift that needs to be expressed in some form in all of our lives. Now, the problem with the word hospitality is that many times when we hear that, we think of somebody who's a really good cook. Maybe we think of Annabelle Tabuana, who really cooks wonderful meals, and she loves to do it. And so I say, I don't have the gift of hospitality, especially when I'm in the Philippines and I don't have my own recipes and all these sorts of things. But the word hospitality means much more than giving a meal for people. Now, let me say that excellent hospitality and community building takes place around a meal. And so when Dr. M this semester is giving us free meals periodically where we can all come, that is a wonderful gift of hospitality for us to get better acquainted and share with one another. But there are many other ways of sharing hospitality. I would say that the basic meaning of hospitality is that we have the gift of seeing the people who are not included, the people who are out there unnoticed by other people, and we welcome them in. When I was a teenager, I went to a lot of summer camps. And there was one camp in particular where a lot of my friends gathered who lived in different towns and cities, and this was about the only time every year we were together. So when we were at camp, we had a wonderful time, talking, laughing, hiking, doing all kinds of things. One Sunday afternoon, I think it was the last Sunday of the camp, we just were enjoying ourselves, and if you had asked me at the end of that camp, was it a good camp? I'd have said, oh, wow, yeah. It was absolutely great. But at the close of that day, I discovered there was another teenager who that afternoon had been sitting in her parents' car crying because she felt so lonely. She was seeing us having a good time, but we never saw her on the edges of our group of friends and realized that she needed someone to invite her in, someone to step out of the fellowship and connect with her and bring her in. That is really the heart of hospitality, and we do it in many different ways. Now, I think what my friends and I did when I was a teenager many, many years ago is something that happens in churches again and again and again, especially if it's a church that feels like they're friends and they have warm fellowship, and we can hardly wait till next Sunday when we get there to enjoy our friends. And we have our greeting times, which is good. And let me tell you, for those of you who are Filipinos, the greeting time, bless me. I love the warmth that is exchanged there. But that's not enough to be a hospitable church. What about after the sermon is over and people begin to leave and we're hanging around to catch up with our friends on what happened last week or to see how they're doing? Do we ever look around to see if there are people by themselves in the corners? Do we see people kind of looking our way but heading toward the door? Hospitality is having eyes to see those who are outside and finding ways of welcoming them into the community. So Martha gives us an amazing illustration of hospitality. But once Martha had welcomed Jesus and I don't know how many of the disciples into her home, she had a job to do. She had to get to work. So she headed for the kitchen and began preparing the meal. Now, I think that she began that preparation with great excitement and joy. Imagine being able to fix a meal for Jesus. It had to be the very best meal she'd ever prepared. And so with excitement, she started to cook. And then she began to think of everything that needed to be done to have this special meal for Jesus. And her anxiety began to rise. And she began to be overwhelmed. And her frustration began to rise. Now, she was doing what was expected of her as a woman in her culture. The cultural expectation was, and this is true in many countries, that if somebody shows up at the door, a whole family or a whole carload of people, the woman hurries and goes to the kitchen and begins to prepare a meal for everybody. So she was doing what she was expected to do. And she was doing what her culture expected her sister Mary to be doing. She was doing what she expected Mary to do. And what was Mary doing? She was in there. What was Mary doing? She was in there with the men, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him as if she was a disciple of a rabbi. And in that culture, no women could be disciples of rabbis. That was one of the distinctive things of Jesus. He talked to women. He taught them. That was beneath a rabbi. What was she doing, acting like a man and not taking care of her womanly duties? And as Martha thought of all these things, her frustration built until she put down her cooking and she walked into the room where Jesus was, and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister is not helping me? Tell her to come." She exploded with this statement to Jesus. Now that surprises us, doesn't it? We don't think people are supposed to talk to Jesus like that. We're supposed to be sort of sugarcoat everything when we come to Jesus. But I think this honest, angry outburst shows the strength of the relationship with Martha shared with Jesus. She was willing for him to know her feelings. She knew she could trust him with her feelings. And right now, she was feeling like Jesus himself didn't care. She was really annoyed at her sister who was not doing what she was supposed to be doing. And so Martha took her frustration to Jesus and said it just like it was. I admire Martha for knowing where to take her frustrations. And friends, many times it's very healthy to say things to God just like we feel them, because these feelings are all pent up inside. And when we say to God, "I don't feel like you even care for me anymore. Why aren't you acting? And I can't understand why you don't change that other person who's supposed to be doing something to help me." But then Martha listened as Jesus responded. I love the way Jesus responded. Next slide. I'm not even going to try the technology here. Now, when I read this, I don't hear Jesus saying, "Martha, Martha, for pity's sakes, cool down." No, I hear him saying, "Martha, Martha." I hear understanding. I hear respect for her and the demands that are on her. in the tone of his voice. Jesus knew what was going on inside of Martha, and he wanted to help her understand herself. So he said to her, "Martha, Martha, the problem is you're worried about so many things and distracted." And in those words, he's saying, "I know what's been going on. Your mind is just focused on all of these things." And Jesus also helped her to understand her sister. Jesus talked to her about one of her sister's main values that Martha didn't understand, at least not the way it was expressed. He said, "You know, there's really one thing that's important, and that's being with Jesus and listening to Jesus. And Martha, I can't deny that to Mary today." Jesus accepted Martha's feelings when, in openness and honesty, she brought them to Jesus, her friend, and he gave her two gifts: understanding of herself and understanding of her sister. Now, these two sisters had very different personalities. And when we have to work with or live with people whose personality is different from ours, we can face a lot of challenges. There can be a lot of misunderstandings. There can be a lot of hurt feelings. Married couples, I'm told, discover this. Even if their personalities are fairly similar, when they get married and have to share all of life and all of the pressures of life, they find there's more difference between them than they thought there was. Sometimes people marry somebody who's very different because they like the difference while they're courting, but the difference gets a little annoying once they're married. I went to my email on Sunday, and I found that my oldest niece had a Facebook post there. Now, my oldest niece is married, I think almost 14 years. She and her husband love each other very dearly, but their personalities are different. And they've had to come to understand each other and each accept things of the other and make adjustments to each other. But that's not the only challenge they have. My niece is a Canadian, and her husband, Michael, is an American from Texas. And Texas is almost as far south as you can get in the U.S., and my niece came from north of the border, way out there. And this is what I found on my niece Tammy's website. Now, this is a T-shirt from Awesome T-Shirts, and it says, they're praying hands, and it says, "Pray for me, I married a Canadian woman." Now, I'm not sure whether she bought that for her husband for their anniversary or not, but she's expressing the fact that there have been challenges, even though my nephew loves Canada as well. Well, if loving husbands and wives with different personalities and coming from different cultures face challenges and misunderstandings and hurts, we should not be surprised if we have challenges with dorm mates and classmates with different personalities and with different cultural backgrounds. And one of my words to you today is, don't feel guilty about that, but take your frustration to Jesus like Martha did, and then listen to hear what Jesus has to say to you to help you understand yourself and to help you understand your frustrating classmate or roommate. And it's also sometimes helpful for us to find some other wise person, if we struggle hard with some of these relationships, to talk to them about it. Let them help us deal with that, those differences. Well, when we saw Mary and Martha in John chapter 12, we find that Martha is happily serving, and what's Mary doing? She's pouring ointment on Jesus' feet. We discover here that Jesus did not change the personality of the sisters, but Jesus respected each of them. And I would say in this case, Jesus respected their cultural values too. The value of a woman's hospitality and the value as a woman of learning, which we hopefully can embrace now. And he let them know that there was a place for all of them within the kingdom. Now let's go to John chapter 11 and see what else we can learn from this experience in the life of Mary and Martha, in their friendship with Jesus. Mary and Martha, when they realized that Lazarus was really sick, they sent a message to Jesus. And look what that message is. All they said was simply, Lord, the one you love is sick. They didn't give Jesus any instructions of what he was supposed to do. They knew that Jesus loved them. They knew that Jesus had power to heal, and they trusted him, and they just gave this very simple message. And in trust then, they sat and waited, expecting that Jesus would come quickly or that he would speak a word of healing from the distance. But they waited and they watched their brother die and they placed him in the grave and Jesus had not come. What had happened? What was going on here? And they were left in deep grief and pain. Now, John the Apostle in chapter 11 lets us know what was going on behind the scenes, how Jesus was feeling, what Jesus was thinking as he responded to the prayer of these sisters. In verse 5, we find that Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. John affirms the fact that Jesus' love was deep. What Jesus did was not punishment for something they had done wrong, or it wasn't carelessness on his part. Jesus loved Martha and Mary. And then the next verse says, so he stayed 2 more days. Those two don't go together, do they? The connecting thing, I would have said in spite of that, not so. It seems that John is saying his staying had something to do with loving Mary and Martha. Jesus knew that even though Mary and Martha were in great pain now, what he was going to do would give them a great gift, even greater gift than him being there with them at this time. And we also see in John chapter 11 that the reason Jesus waited was because the story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus' life was not just their story. It was a part of God's bigger story. And Jesus knew that they were involved in the ongoing plan of redemption. There's a lot more in this chapter that we could unpack, but we're not going there. And we find from John that Jesus had purposes related to that bigger picture that could not be fulfilled unless he waited. His purpose was that God would be glorified, that God's Son would be glorified, and that the disciples would come to a new level of belief in who Jesus was. And eventually, Mary and Martha would have the joy of knowing that even in their pain, they were a part of the big story of what God was doing. Now, when Jesus finally did arrive in Bethany, we discover that each of the sisters at different times said the same thing to Jesus when they first met him. Lord, if you had only been here, our brother would not have died. Here again, we see this open, honest relationship. They were disappointed in his response, and they knew they could trust him with letting him know that, which he already knew. And that was all that Mary could say. She was the second one to come, but we'll finish Mary's story here. When she had given her prayer of lament, her disappointment, she crumpled at the feet of Jesus and just wept. But Mary followed that statement of disappointment with a statement of faith. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Even in her pain and disappointment, Martha's faith was still hanging on to, yes, I believe I can trust Jesus, my friend. And Jesus picked up on that small expression of faith and led Martha into this wonderful theological conversation and revealed more of himself to Martha. He helped her understand that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. He wasn't just her friend. He was the one who could give everlasting life to those who believed in him. And then Jesus said to Martha, who's in this grieving situation, Martha, do you believe this? And Martha responds, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. By expressing her disappointment In expressing her disappointment and struggling faith to Jesus, Martha, in her relationship with Jesus, grew in her understanding of him, and her faith grew deeper and more confident. And John tells us immediately she left Jesus and went back. It was like she had confidence, and she went back to help her sister. She still didn't know what was going to happen, but she had a new faith. Friendship with Jesus does not protect us from all hard times, grief, and pain. It doesn't mean that Jesus is going to act according to our schedule and our plans, but it does mean that Jesus is with us in those hard times. Even when Jesus wasn't with them physically, he was with them in thought and in love. And Jesus is at work in those hard times for our good, bringing us good gifts in the end. And through those hard times, we learn more about this amazing friend we have. Our understanding of him deepens. And as we learn more things, our faith grows, even when our pain is deep and our loss is great. And many times, we have the joy of seeing how God worked with our pain, through our pain, to do something good for others. Mary and Martha show us how to live in an open, honest friendship relationship with Jesus. And I pray that we will learn from them to be open, to be honest, to listen, to learn, and value that amazing friendship. I would like us all just to bow our heads and just in a few moments envision yourself on the edge of campus as Martha was on the edge of Bethany, and Jesus is standing in front of you. What does your heart want to say to Jesus right now? I'm going to give you just a few moments to be in that setting with your friend. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you call your followers friends. We thank you that we can call you friend. We thank you that you invite us to come to you with all of our challenges, our grief. And Lord, you know we have people in our congregation, our community, who are grieving these days with all of our frustrations and with our joys. And you understand us. Lord, help us to never forget to openly and honestly bring all these things to you. And then, like Mary, listen for what you have to say. We ask these things in your name. And Lord, I pray a special blessing on everyone here as we go our way today. May you go in peace and in the joy of your friendship with Jesus. Amen.